Romans 2, verse 7 to 16. It's not fair. Let's pray and prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord today. Father, thank you for your word, which is life to us. Speak to us today. Teach us by your Spirit. May we respond to your words today, and may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of his word. Let's look at verses 7 to 12. I will begin, however, with verse 6, which we discussed in the previous section. It leads into Paul's comments in verses 7 to 11. Verse 6 says, God will repay everyone according to his deeds. Paul goes on to explain that both Jews and Gentiles will be judged fairly according to what they have done. Verse 7, to those by perseverance in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow wickedness, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew and then for the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Greek, for God does not show favoritism. Meditation question. Summarize these verses in your own words. Is Paul teaching that we are saved by what we do? Well, Paul is not teaching salvation by works, but is emphasizing that God is impartial. He judges both Jews and Gentiles by the same standard. God will judge people who are selfish, who reject God's truth, and who do every kind of evil, whether they be Jews or Gentiles. Jewish people had the idea that God would judge Gentiles who did not have the law or the Old Testament scriptures, but they did not think God would judge themselves. Paul is saying, no, all people will be judged for their evil deeds. However, people who seek to do what is right will experience God's glory, honor, and peace. God does not show favoritism. To put it simply, God will judge all people by how we have lived on this earth. This is the basis of how God will judge everyone. It does not say that our works can save us, but God will judge all people fairly based on what they have done. All who sin apart from the law, verse 12, will perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law, verse 13. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but it is the doers of the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature what the law requires, they are a law unto themselves, even though they do not have the law. So they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, their consciences, also bearing witness, and their thoughts either accusing or defending them. On that day when God will judge men's secrets through Christ Jesus, proclaimed by my gospel. Meditation question. What do these verses teach about the judgment of God? People often question God's judgment and say, it's not fair. It's not fair for God to judge certain groups of people for their lifestyle or personal choices. That is just the way they are. First, it is crazy for puny human beings to accuse God of not being fair. Paul explains this in this chapter how and why God's judgment of mankind is righteous and fair. In verse 2, Paul wrote that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. He explained in verses 5 and 6 that God's judgment is righteous and that he will judge everyone according to what they have done. Verses 7 to 11 tell us that God will not show favoritism, but will judge impartially. On that day of judgment, no one will be able to say to God, it's not fair. Paul explains in verses 12 to 16 how God will judge people who do not have the law of God. This refers to the Ten Commandments and the Old Testament scriptures. Paul's teaching also applies to those who have never heard the gospel. Verse 12 states that people who do not have the law will die apart from the law. People who have the law will be judged by the law. Paul goes on to say that hearing the law doesn't make a person righteous. He said, doers of the law will be declared righteous. This does not mean that people are saved by perfectly obeying the law, but that righteousness is evidenced by the way we live. I think Jesus' teaching in Matthew 7, 13 to 14 helps us to understand Paul's words in this passage. Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Our works do not save us, but we must choose our pathway in life. We can choose the road of disobedience and destruction, which is wide and easy. Many people choose that road. The other choice is the way of Jesus. It is narrow and few people choose it, but it is the pathway to life." The teaching of Paul in Romans is that the rest of the Bible is clear. We cannot earn salvation by our works, but only through the grace of God. Nevertheless, we must choose between the pathway of destruction and the path of life, which means following Jesus. Returning to Paul's discussion of God's judgment, he repeatedly emphasizes that all people will be judged by the light they have been given. However, it does not say that people can be saved by their efforts to obey the light that they have received. The problem is that we are all sinners and cannot live up to the light that we have. Paul makes this abundantly clear in the following verses and chapters. Meditation question: how will the Gentiles be judged if they do not have the written law of God? Some people want to believe that if people do not have the law and have never heard about Jesus, that they are not lost. But this is unbiblical. People are lost because they are sinners, which includes all of mankind. People cannot be saved by living up to the light that they have been given. Human beings can only be saved through faith through the grace of the cross. Paul explains further why the judgment of God will be fair to all. Even if people do not have the written law, they have a conscience. They instinctively know the difference between right and wrong. In that sense, the law is written on their hearts. Their conscience tells them when they are doing right and when they are doing wrong. In verse 16, Paul said, "On that day," referring to the day of judgment, "God will judge the secrets of people's hearts." God knows our inner motivations, our selfish desires, our anger, and our hate. He knows our bitterness and desire to take revenge on those who've offended us. He knows our pride and desire to stand above others. On that day of judgment, God will expose the secrets of men's hearts. He will judge not only by their outward actions, but by their attitudes and motivations and the motivations of their heart. Again, no one will say on that day, "It is not fair." Everyone will know that God's judgment is righteous and fair. There will be a final judgment for all people who have lived on this earth. My friends, if this is true, it should change the way we think and live in the short time we have in this world. All will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Our works cannot save us. We cannot earn forgiveness by trying to do good. There's only one way to escape that judgment. Jesus is the way. May we cling to Christ alone and depend on Him alone to be our salvation and our righteousness. There is an old hymn that says, "Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow." Jesus paid for our sins with His blood and suffered the judgment of God in our place. Let's pray. Thank You, Father, that You sent Jesus to die for our sins and to save us from sin and to deliver us from the judgment that we deserve. May we walk humbly in Your love, knowing that it is all through the grace of what Jesus has done for us. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Now, I'm going to add a bonus message here to try to answer the question, are people really lost without Christ? I would like to share my thoughts about people who have never heard about Jesus. I'm adding this because I know many people wonder about this question. First, I believe that they are lost for the same reasons we are all lost. We are all sinful and unrighteous before God. If I thought people would be saved by not hearing the gospel, I would never have become a missionary. If people who have never heard the gospel are not lost, then it is senseless to share the gospel with them. However, people are lost without Christ. we are commanded to share the good news of forgiveness in Christ with all nations and all peoples. We should have a sense of urgency because we know that people are lost without Christ and will face the wrath of God on the day of judgment. But is it possible for people to be saved if they have never heard the gospel? My answer is a conditional yes, which might surprise you based on what I've said thus far. Let me give some examples. There are many people in the Old Testament, both Jews and non-Jews, who believed in God and were saved. They had not heard about Jesus. Abraham is the best example. God spoke to him, and he had great revelation, but probably did not understand that Jesus would die in our place for our sins. Nevertheless, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Abraham trusted what God had said to him and was made righteous before God because of his faith. In Luke 4:24-27, Jesus mentions two foreigners who responded to God by faith in the Old Testament. One was the widow in the foreign village of Zarephath. The other was Naaman, the Syrian army general. It seems clear that they had saving faith. Jesus referred to them and scolded the Jewish people who did not believe. The widow and Naaman had little revelation about God, but responded in faith to what God had said to them. Many in Jesus' time did not believe, even though Jesus, the greatest revelation of God to mankind, was standing before them. Another example is the thief on the cross. He did not fully understand everything about Jesus, who Jesus is, and what he taught. But as he was dying, he came to realize that Jesus was righteous and that he is the Messiah. The dying thief simply said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." What wonderful words. Clearly, the thief was saved, even though his understanding of the gospel was minimal. To summarize, I believe that there will be people who are saved, even though they do not have a complete understanding of the gospel. I have shared examples in the Bible of people who responded in faith to the light God had given them. God is merciful and wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2:4. However, the masses of people will not be saved this way. They will be saved through the proclamation of the gospel. All have sinned and are separated from God. They are lost and need a Savior. Jesus has commanded us to proclaim the gospel to every tribe, tongue, and nation. There are rare examples of people who have never heard the gospel responding to God in faith. However, the truth is that the world is lost without Christ. Understanding this should give us urgency and passion to proclaim Christ to the nations. Let me give you another example. If I tell you to go down the street, knock on someone's door that you've never met, and give them a message, you might be hesitant. However, if that person's house is on fire, you would run to the house, break down the door if necessary, and scream, "Your house is on fire. Get out now before it's too late." This illustrates the situation in the world. People are lost without Christ. Their house is on fire. They will certainly stand before God and face the final judgment for their sins. We can tell them how to be saved now before it is too late for them and their family.